Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
So, Johnny, I think the only person in the world who was surprised when Braun Strowman picked up Bobby Lashley and then decided to body slam him was Adnan Virk. He was like, what a nice gesture for Braun to offer to help Lashley up. And I know in his heart, he was just like, you know, I was starting to watch this wrestling stuff thinking nobody could be a decent person. And look at Braun. He's fighting him next Sunday, but he's being a good guy. And then boom. I know Byron Saxton used to be the most innocent heart in professional wrestling, but I think Virk is the new one. What do you think of Adnan Virk so far?
Over a week. I was hoping he would find his groove, and he's not quite there yet. I'm digging Pat McAfee on Friday Night SmackDown, but yeah, I think they're one for two with the announcer adjustment.
What do you think of Sheamus just going, you're in beyond your depth, pointing right at Adnan Virk during the match? I think he has mixed up Sheamus and Drew's nicknames, so maybe that was a little receipt being issued.
I'm thinking that was a message from the back.
I wouldn't be surprised. So anyway, yeah. It's you know, listening to Virk, I don't mean to focus on this. I know we're, you know, 6 days away from a pay-per-view, and this is a final go-home show for it. But when I listen to Virk, I think it's like listening to a basketball announcer who's like, oh, my God, he just made a basket from outside that curved half circle. And the color guy having to go, yeah, that's called the three-point shot. Pretty routine. And then him going, oh, my God, he just leaped in the air and jammed it through the hoop. That's amazing. Like, yeah, that's called a slam dunk. Have you watched basketball before? Why are you the lead announcer on this network? So I'm getting a kick out of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I wish he was a little worse so that I could get, you know, the who was the guy that called Jeff Hardy Jason Hervey or Jeff Hervey? Was it Mike Adamley?
Yes. Oh, I did a whole cover story on Mike Adamley's first week. Because yeah. It was just I was just like one malapropism and disaster after another. You're right. Virk seems like a nice guy. Maybe watched 3 hours of pro wrestling in his life going into this. At least that's how it's coming across.
Sure.
Thought that was enough of a resume. And boy, our Saxton and Graves had to carry him.
Yeah, who knew that Saxton had this greatness in him? I mean, by comparison, props to Saxton.
Yes, yes. I am a consistent Byron Saxton fan. I think he is maligned unfairly. But that's a whole other issue. So what did you think of the story they told you? I mean, it was pretty paint by numbers in terms of hyping up the triple threat match the last 2 weeks with Braun, Lashley, and Drew. But for paint by numbers, I mean, how'd you feel about it?
I feel that they've cooled off all three to an all-time low for each of the three. I felt that Lashley was white hot going into Mania. I felt Drew was hot, super hot prior to that. And then I was more than excited that Braun and Shane committed themselves to a match to where they couldn't ruin anyone else's match on WrestleMania. So that was good enough for me. just look at how cool and how awesome Roman Reigns is on SmackDown, and then conversely, look at these three, and it's like, I mean, there's nothing. I'm just ready for this to be over. I'm ready for the word WrestleMania not to be used for another year, and I'm ready for this feud to be over, and you know, and heat these guys back up. You know, I look forward to McIntyre going to SmackDown and losing to Roman. I'm cool with that. And then, you know, and heat him up, you know, maybe a year from now, trade it back. I don't even know.
Oh, but first we get to have a Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal feud. I just know it.
Well, that was my big takeaway from the show tonight. I'm glad you buried the lead because I felt Jinder Mahal reform 3MB tonight with Veer and Shanky.
Oh, God. Yes. And what happened to the two members of Retribution who were feuding with Drew? Is that just, they unmasked and now Dijakovic is like gone? Are they, I mean, they should be gone. They should repackage them months from now and pretend Retribution never happened. But it just seems weird that they were doing that angle and they haven't been seen. I guess we'll probably see them next Monday after Backlash. But yeah, now Jinder has two new sidekicks.
Well, there's a limited amount of frivolous, unnecessary face paint in the WWE, okay. And the face paint used for Dijakovic and the other guy that after the masks were removed, that had to be used for Veer and Shanky. There it is.
I like how you say their name. You're just like, it's like Snitsky.
It's so horrible. I mean, Veer sucks. Yeah. Shanky is possibly the worst wrestling name I've ever heard.
Yeah, and you have all of Retribution fresh in your memory to go with, to compare it to, yeah. All right, let's pause, introduce ourselves, and we'll get to more analysis here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, May 10th, 2021. I'm Wade Keller, the editor and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter and the website pwtorch.com, and also the host of this, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. Both are free. Just search Wade Keller. Subscribe to both the red logo and the blue logo. The red logo are the post shows on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. We are live streaming after Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and then the final version goes up for download a few hours later. We also run best of shows, usually on the weekends, so hit refresh on the weekends for that. And also the blue shows are our regular podcasts, and Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net will join me for an early flagship edition this week. It'll be a Tuesday night flagship edition, so be on the lookout for that, and we'll certainly preview Backlash and talk about all the other happenings in the world of pro wrestling, including our thoughts on the Blood and Guts match from last Wednesday, some more talk about that, and the state of NXT, and Ring of Honor and Impact, and who knows what else. Then Thursday, Sam Roberts from the WWE Kickoff Shows and the Not Sam Wrestling Podcast joins me, and we're going to preview Backlash and just kind of catch up on our thoughts on post-WrestleMania happenings and look ahead to the summer and perhaps even into SummerSlam. That'll be on Thursday. So a big week ahead, but nothing will top tonight's return of Johnny Fairplay to the co-host chair. Johnny, it's been too long. Great to have you back. Good to hear your voice again. As I told you in our production meeting, you sound older, and that's because it's been so long since we talked. Welcome.
Thank you. Do you have a freshly head-shaved Sam Roberts on Thursday? The rumor and innuendo going into Monday's Jim and Sam show was he was going to shave his head. So I don't know the results. So maybe
he would not shave his head if it weren't after losing a loses his hair match bet or match of some kind.
Well, that's true. He is.
I mean, a true pro wrestling fan always makes sure there's high stakes.
Oh man, I can't believe no one's asked me to do that unnecessarily.
Yes, for charity.
Yeah, I do enough for charity. We're good.
Yeah. Oh my God! Wow, that's awesome. I like that.
It's
wouldn't
true.
Shave the head for a charity.
No. I am one of the leading fundraisers for Give Kids the World Village for the last 4 years. And like last year, I was in the top 10. And you know, these are huge celebrities throughout stardom of stardom variety of platforms. And this year, I'm looking to enter the top three. And I've done so, as I said, last 4 years without shaving my head. I'm going to keep that trend continuing.
All right. Maybe we can raise enough money to get you to change your mind.
Yeah.
But maybe people just don't care if you're bald. Maybe it won't work.
I have good hair, Wade. I take pills. There's a sponsor somewhere that's paying me on another podcast. No, I take pills to keep this hair. It's okay.
All right, very good. Well, welcome back. You are a star of the Survivor CBS series, multiple seasons. You host your own reality show podcast. We will give you a chance to do a long plug later. But for people who don't last that long, Johnny, how can people find your podcast if they want to learn more about reality TV and briefly what is a current topic you're covering?
Sure. Go to realitynsfw.com. That's Reality Not Safe for Work. You know, search it, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you podcast. We have a YouTube channel, but all the links to everything is at realitynsfw.com. We just finished our coverage of the Challenge Double Agents. We are currently covering the Challenge All-Stars. We just finished our coverage of the Circle US. Actually, that's still continuing, the Circle US. And then starting next week, we're doing a rewatch of Survivor Season 4, Marquesas. So that'll be on Tuesday nights. I mean, there's something almost every night, and then on our Patreon we have other stuff. It's a good time to be a fan of reality television. And I just got back last week. I was in Miami for Magic City Wrestling Federation's big return show after a long COVID break, and I was there for Paola of 90 Day Fiancé. She had her pro wrestling debut match against Kylan King from AEW, and got to say, much better than Jenna Maraska's debut match in TNA.
your world's colliding here. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Reality TV and pro wrestling, yeah.
It was so weird because, like, I got there, like, early, and, like, you know, I'm a, you know, reality person that, you know, that's happened to have done wrestling over the years. And, you know, and I'm a fan, like I watch 90 Day Fiancé or I've watched, you know, seasons intermittently. And so I was a fan of Paola. You know, I think her husband, Russ, is cool. I think they're a really fun story on the show. And, you know, so I was excited to meet her and I was nice to her. And I felt that there were others there that were nice, but I felt that there were others who were just like, oh, she's from reality television. I'm just like, yeah, she just doubled the attendance. You should hate her. I felt her pain from the years and years of experiencing that same pain myself.
All right. Well, very good. Let's get back to talking some Raw here. We'll talk more about your ventures later on. If you want to give us a call, we are taking live calls on our live stream post-Raw here, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That will flag you on our switchboard. That means you want to be on the show, and that means we'll likely bring you onto the show. But you can also just call and listen and decide as you're listening if you want to join us or not. That's 347-215-8558. You can also email the show, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. And you can email during the show. You can also email during Raw, Dynamite, or SmackDown as the show is progressing. If you're not going to listen to the live stream or call in, you can still contribute your thoughts and questions and then listen to see if it made it onto the show on the download in the morning. All right, let's get to calls. And we'll go first to area code 413. 413, you're up first. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, guys. It's Dave from Holyoke, Mass.
Hey, Dave, good to hear from you. Yeah, so what do you think of, Dynamite? I don't know why. That was about to roll off my tongue. What do you think of Raw tonight?
I tend to find myself, you know, being a pretty positive person when I look at wrestling. And Mondays tend to actually be one of my – I guess I am fond of Monday nights with wrestling because my wife tends to fall asleep and I teach – so I usually spend Mondays, I'm like, all right, I'll put wrestling on in the background, a lesson plan, I'll grade some stuff. I don't mind staying up late because wrestling's on in the background, so I'll just kind of enjoy it while I'm doing some other stuff on the side, and it kind of keeps me entertained. But I have to agree with Johnny. You know, I normally go to bed after Raw, and I try not to stay up so I can get ready for work the next day. But watching this just made me mad is not the right word. But I just don't understand how going into a pay-per-view, you know, whether it's a pay-per-view anymore or not with Peacock and the network and all that stuff, but how you can have, you know, week after week these people that are going to main event, you know, your champions with Rhea Ripley and Lashley, and how you can just have them fight the people that they're going to fight at the main show or at the pay-per-view. You know, it just kills, like, any sort of anticipation that you can have. It just ruins, like, any sort of build. And the builds are always so poor at this point now anyways, but it just ruins any sort of anything you can build up. And I can't figure out, you know, if it's just really poor storytelling that they're doing and just the writing's really bad, or that they're doing such a bad job at building up the roster that they get to Monday night and there's no one else for these guys to fight. And so they figure, well,
yeah,
everyone else is just so poorly built, they just have to fight this guy now.
No, it's a good point, and it's such a contrast to AEW Dynamite's formula. You don't have the guys who are going to wrestle at the pay-per-view wrestling each other over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in various incarnations. If it's a tag match at the pay-per-view, you're going to wrestle a singles match. If it's a singles match at the pay-per-view, you're going to wrestle a tag match. If it's a three-way match at the pay-per-view, you're going to wrestle one-on-one in various combinations and on and on. And, yeah, it is the novelty of seeing the payoff match at the pay-per-view is diminished. And, Johnny, I mean, the solution is to see what Dynamite does and gain it, you know, get some inspiration from it. There's a way to have a deep enough roster with their money they're getting from Peacock and Fox. They could hire more wrestlers than have a, you know, alter the format. I think they're scared, Johnny, that if they did that, who would want to watch anyone wrestle anyone unless that's the current feud they're in? And I just disagree with that. I don't think that'd be as necessary. And I'd like to see some in this era where pay-per-views are bought and paid for ahead of time by Peacock, by NBC Universal, why not have some purely exclusively TV feuds going on? And I'm not talking just Drew Gulak and Angel Garza, although for all I know that will probably end up being on the pay-per-view. So, Johnny, your thoughts on that topic?
Yeah, I mean, the number one problem, of course, is 3 hours. I think if this is a two-hour show, I think it's a little less repetitive. So I think that third hour is just a burden. And I think there is some worry of bringing in other people that people might not care about. But I feel like we have seen post-Mania an influx of some talent. And so, you know, hopefully that leads to something. But with 3 hours, on a go-home show, why aren't we getting a sit-down interview with you know, any of the women's challengers or champion or the three people that we've seen battle in every single incarnation going into this, you know, a sit-down with them? Or, like, I mean, one of my favorite things I've seen this year from WWE was the SmackDown going into Mania with Big E walking around Tampa. He's like, you know, this is where,
yeah,
I'm from, you know.
Yeah,
this is the barbershop I go to for a big match. You know, I played, you know, a high school football state championship game right there in that stadium that I'm not allowed to walk into because we didn't work it out beforehand. And this is a last minute decision when we filmed this. But stuff like, I mean, like, they're in Florida, you know, they're like, you know, the weather can cooperate for them to be outside and do some fun stuff. I mean, you would think, with the confines of Thunderdome, as you know, as critically acclaimed and as award-winning as it allegedly is, and I haven't seen these awards anywhere, but you would think that they're a little tired of that. They have to know the stagnancy of that. You know, they have to be jealous of seeing crowds elsewhere that they haven't been able to take advantage of yet. And actually, props to them for not, you know, being a little, you know, too eager to do that. But, I mean, I just really thought that we would see a lot more creativity of what to do outside of that bubble that we haven't seen. And especially with, I mean, it's got to just – I feel that they have to be just so antsy at this point that just think anything outside the box. But I feel that it's possibly the opposite. They're just like, hey, let's just drag our feet till we get people. Who cares?
WWE is so in a formulaic zone right now. I mean, they have their way of doing it, and they're just phoning it in. You know, I mean, I think they're very satisfied that what we're doing is enough. And we will plug the wrestlers in. They are relatively interchangeable. And we're going to draw the numbers we're going to draw. And I just don't sense anything from any – I don't have a sense from Vince McMahon that he wants to shake things up. But you're right. The Big E profile of him rolling around or, you know, the stuff going way back to, like, when Ali was making his own stuff.
Yep.
There's – you want that sense of, like, independent contractors with entrepreneurial creativity – finding different ways to present their characters. I mean, and yes, okay, we got to hear from Lucha House Party tonight.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, it's like 5 years too late to try to make those guys relevant. But I mean, I'll take that over not doing it even at this point. Even if an argument can be made, it's hopeless. But if you believe it's hopeless, you believe everything about WWE is hopeless. But I believe in a matter of degrees, and I believe if WWE is hopeless, it's less hopeless for Lucha House Party if they're actually getting vignettes to help establish their personalities. And you know, issue a mission statement. You know, would it be better invested in some young team without baggage and a million jobs on television and being treated as poorly as them? Well, sure. But if they're going to keep them on the roster and keep featuring them, I'll take a vignette. And so, yeah, I think, well, I want to go back. I mean, there's so many examples of wrestling being promoted in different ways over the years. But, Dave, I'm with you. I'd love to I'd love to see them step back and try to reinvent themselves a bit.
Yeah, I mean, this. As I said, I was doing work while Raw was on, so you know maybe I'm completely off base with this. So hopefully your listeners don't crucify me for this one. But I mean, I would say, you know, probably the most interested thing I saw as I kind of poked my head up while watching Raw is just the curiosity of what they do with Eva Marie. You know, everything else is kind of so the same.
I know what you mean. And I mean, Eva Marie is quite the, evolution. It almost feels like they're trolling fans who were into the Diva Revolution. And she's kind of there to like be the anti-Diva Revolution character in some sort of meta ironic way. My conjecture is they're playing off of that. I don't know how heavy-handed and overt they're going to be about it. Johnny, what do you think of the vignettes?
Well, we got two tonight. I covered Eva Marie when she was on Celebrity Big Brother for Reality in SFW. I was a big fan of her on there. And as she mentioned during the vignettes, I mean, she's pretty much done all there is to do in Hollywood. I mean, she left WWE. A couple years later, she did Celebrity Big Brother. And then a couple years after that, she came back to WWE. So, I mean, there's pretty much nothing left out there that she could have accomplished in the world of Hollywood. So, I mean, I feel that the story is pretty amazing. She's beautiful. I mean, like, there's a fan base that loves the Oscars and the Kairi Sings and, you know, like these amazing wrestlers. However, there's a fan base that loves a very, very beautiful woman. And Eva Marie is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my entire life. So there's a place for her, you know, and you know, there's people that are like, she can't wrestle. And she's like, well, I'm okay with that. I'm not watching Eva Marie to watch her wrestle. So it's okay. And I think there's a lot of fans out there you can go so far the other way, you know, like, you know, there's people there, you know, that they're just like, you know, I want to see a 5-star match every time. And I don't care about the characters. I just want to see a match of the year candidate every time where, you know, I don't know where you would put Roman Reigns' star ratings each and every match. I mean, they're not bad, but I don't care. He could have a 1-star match and I want to see what Roman Reigns is going to do. And that's the same for Eva Marie.
And if what Roman Reigns is doing is not worthy of high star ratings, then star ratings are not all-encompassing of what matters in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, star ratings aren't nothing. They're subjective. But they're not nothing, but they're also not everything. And, you know, pro wrestling is not all about great matches. You want to have great matches in pro wrestling. And you know, a good, healthy percentage of matches being very good to great, I think, is pretty damn important. But it isn't everything. And you can have a lot of great matches and be screwing up a lot of other essential aspects of pro wrestling and end up turning people off or limiting your audience or underserving the wrestlers who are doing a lot of hard work in the ring. Dave, back to you for any follow-up.
No, that's pretty much it for me. I want to let other people get on. But I just want to say, Wade, I was thinking about this the other day. Usually I listen to my podcast when I'm out for a run, and sometimes yours will get pushed back a little bit because they're not much longer, but slightly longer than some of the other ones that I listen to. But every time I end up getting back to yours, it's clearly heads and shoulders the best one. I always kind of ask myself, you know, why did I bother, you know, listening to Wade's first? Because I know it's going to be the best one. Just the journalism, you make wrestling feel like a legitimate kind of sport when you talk about it in terms of how you cover it. Family friendly, you know, I can listen to it when my son's in the car. It just, you know, very clearly kind of top notch kind of in terms of all the other podcasts I'm listening to.
Dave, thank you. You made my night. We had a caller say some kind things, I think, on Friday night, and I thought about it multiple times. Like I said, it made my day, and I really appreciate your going out of your way to say those kind things. What you're saying is what I'm going for, you know. And I mean, I'm glad that it's appreciated. I mean, like I'm trying to make it family friendly, and I'm trying to bring journalism and not just be bombastic or drop F-bombs every 2 seconds to try to be the coolest guy on the podcast world and all of that. Like, but the show's a reflection of who I am too, and I'm glad that you like it. So thank you so much, and move us back to the front. Don't let the hour and 62 minute. That's not a thing. The hour and 52 minutes or whatever shows up on the clock turn you away from listening, because, you know, really it's mostly good. And then Javier comes on and we get like the second win late in the show. So,
Dave, how many miles are you getting in daily?
Anywhere from, you know, six to nine, somewhere in there.
Wow, there you go. Overachiever.
How you doing, Johnny?
three to five.
Nice. Most days?
Solid.
Yeah, yeah. Unless it's raining or super cold, but yeah, pretty much every day I'm out there. Yeah.
Good for you guys. Yeah. And always listen to podcasts or sometimes music? Johnny, you first.
Always podcast. I've done so many half marathons. Like, one of my first marathons was listening to a Torch Talk with you and RBD. It was one of my first half marathons.
Oh, cool. Awesome. How about you, Dave? Do you mix it up, or is it all wrestling podcasts, or is there some other podcast topics and also music?
It's pretty much usually wrestling, unless it's college basketball season. Then I listen to a Duke podcast. But besides that, yeah, and I did, like Johnny too. I've got a marathon I might do in the fall, and I've done a couple marathons without listening to anything. And I was like, well, you know, I'd listen to podcasts most of my runs. I might as well listen to when I do the marathon.
Yeah.
Real quick, this could be helpful. What headphones do you use?
Just your standard, that comes from Apple.
Okay. I got the Aftershocks Aeroplexes, and they're like bone conducting. Headphones, they go like around your ear, like your ear's not covered at all, and that you hear like through your like temples kind of, but at the same time you can hear everything else around you. So I feel like they're pretty safe, you know, if you're running on the road, like,
yeah.
So, and they're super lightweight. So like they make a few different ones, but the Aftershocks Aeropacks, they're the most expensive, unfortunately, but they're the lightest, most comfortable, and all that. And they're not a sponsor of mine, so I'm going to
throw. I was just going to say, what you just described sounds like sorcery. I don't know how that's possible, but
they're amazing. It's a game changer. Like, yeah. I'm so happy. Yeah, I said, what wizardry is this when I first put them on my head?
Awesome. Cool. Dave, thanks so much. I'll call again.
Yeah. Yeah, have a great night, guys.
Yep, you too. Johnny, I'm curious for your thoughts on Charlotte. Charlotte, Rhea Ripley, and then Asuka's thrown in, although we kind of saw where she stands with the loss to Ripley here, pretty clean loss. Your thoughts on the change in Charlotte's character? We're talking about Eva Marie and, you know, wrestling and looks and all that. Charlotte's changed her look. She's changed her attitude. It seems like she's slotted in the way that I've wanted her to be slotted, which is definitively one or the other, preferably a heel, not switching back and forth. It feels like it's sort of the long haul that she's going to be a heel. And then you have the Alexa Bliss situation where we're not quite sure who Alexa's going after, but, you know, I'm trying to think of a good way to describe it. I have rational fear every time that it seems like a heel that Charlotte looks at a heel, because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to turn her again, like, just because she's going to now feud with a heel. So Charlotte's going to be like the better of the two and be a babyface for like 3 to 6 weeks. So your thoughts on Charlotte and your thoughts on Ripley?
Charlotte, I don't know what all Charlotte did, because I feel like aesthetically she looks different. And then in addition, her cadence in her interviews, just her walk, her mannerisms, she seems like she's leaned out. I mean, if I were to make a female wrestler, it would be Charlotte Flair right now. I think she's hitting every single thing perfectly. I don't know what happened during that WrestleMania hiatus, yeah, but I love the character that she came back as. I mean, other than Eva Marie, I think Charlotte Flair might be one of the most beautiful female wrestlers I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I just think she's a total package. Like, I love the confidence. She's no longer a robot. She got her human brain or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I feel like she's a different, like, if, you know, like when the, you know, when there was a second Ultimate Warrior, that I'm still convinced by, I think that there might be a second Charlotte Flair. And, I like the new one.
By the way, people who aren't, I've been doing, you know, call-in radio shows since like the early 90s. And before the internet, you know, a lot of phone calls on wrestling call-in shows, whether it was me hosting my own show on KFAN or being a guest on other shows around the country as a guest analyst, people just call up constantly with like rumors they heard from their uncle or their cousin or whatever, you know, it feels weird to have to explain this, but, you know, there's new wrestling fans, and I'm finding out the longer I do this, the more that things, you know, are worth bringing up again every once in a while to people who are kind of catching up on some of the funny stuff from the past among insider fans of different eras and generations. And one of them was, you know, people call up and go, whatever happened to this guy, whatever that guy. But the joke was, people would call up and just go, you know, have you heard there were two Ultimate Warriors? And it was just such a thing for years. Like, it was the number one false rumor because, you know, Jim Hellwig looked kind of different on two different runs. And so, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. But I'm not shocked that you're buying into that.
Sure. Yeah. I buy into much worse. I mean,
oh, yes.
Do you love this version of Charlotte?
Oh, yeah, I do. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think she's a woman in her mid-30s, and I think for a while she was pretending to be a wrestling character who didn't know who she was as a person, with a character pasted on, almost literally in terms of how much the makeup was caked on to give her a certain look, and the hair and the robotic, as you said, the robotic delivery and the robe and the music. And I feel like she outgrew that as a person. And I think that she grew into a more complex, mature human being than the one who originally was given that gimmick, which was just the derivative of her dad, you know, when she was in NXT and then called up. And now it's like, this is a real person who, I mean, yeah, she's still playing a character, but I feel like her makeup, her hair, it just feels more in line with what a woman in her mid-30s with her accomplishments would look and act like. And it feels more grounded, feels more relatable, and yet very effective at being a heel too. You know, so I absolutely endorse this change in her look, her cadence, her demeanor, and you know, most of all that she's a heel. She's a natural heel, at least for, you know, I don't know how much longer she wants to do this, but at least for a couple of years, I think she should be a heel until they fortify the heel side of things and people go, well, you know, Now we want to see Charlotte against these heels.
This version of Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch at next year's Mania, if there's two nights, it's the easy main event.
Yep. Real quick thoughts on Ripley, then we'll go next to Steve in Baltimore. How do you feel about how they've done in terms of introducing Ripley?
Pretty crappy. Like I saw one of Ripley's first matches at NXT in Durham, North Carolina, and I was actually sitting beside Trevor Lee watching her, which is pretty great. I don't think Vince understands hard rock or even metal or punk or whatever genre is describing her. Like Eric Bischoff did a Ask Eric Anything on his podcast last week, and someone was just like, you know, do you think if Vern Gagne had the money, he could have competed with Vince? And I can't remember what answer Eric gave, but like the correct answer was rock and roll Buck Zumhoff came to the ring with a boombox playing 50s music.
Yep. And he wanted to update it, and Vern wouldn't let him. Vern's like, nobody knows this other music. Nobody knows what AC/DC you know. I mean, like, and so I was like 9, and I knew that was old music, and Buck wasn't cool. And yeah, Vern was slow to come around.
Yeah,
he never came around. I should put it that way.
But I feel like that's Vince with Rhea Ripley. He's like, it's almost ACD, whatever. You know, like it's like he doesn't get any of it.
Yeah. I agree. It's been, you know, Vince destroyed the AWA and did so intentionally. He was aggressive and I think took extra joy in going after Vern Gagne in terms of taking some of his top talent and invading my market, which was Vern Gagne and the home market for the AWA, which was one of the big three companies in the 60s and 70s, along with the WWF and then the NWA sort of collectively in territories. And he took a little extra joy in, I think, destroying Vern. And now, you know, I mean, Vern had struck a deal with ESPN, and had Hulk Hogan fallen in love with Donna or Kathy Gagne, which they tried to push that. If he had married into the family, I mean, it might be a different story. And if Greg Gagne was not – I said this, I think, on The Fix a half a year ago. If Greg Gagne was a different person, a little – you know, he was a little older than Vince, but he was Vern Gagne's son. If he had a little more – if he was a little younger and a little more entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, I mean, it could have been a different story. But it's just – you're basically saying so many things about if this guy was different, if that person was different, then maybe. But now Vince – is, you know, has made great business deals beyond what Vern was able to do. But from a, you know, staying contemporary standpoint, it's been weird seeing him, you know, become Vern's age and have some of the same faults that Vince once laughed at Vern for having, you know, 35 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I don't know. I mean, like, why do you think the Roman Reigns thing worked? I mean, is it just Paul or is it Vince going, okay, I understand the Godfather. I get this. You have the consigliere. You have the, you know, so you think it's just an age-old story that just works. So he's like, I got this.
I think Succession is based in part on the McMahon family. By the way, I know it isn't, but when I watch it, I tell myself that because it makes it more entertaining. Great series on HBO. Can't wait for the next season. And Roman Reigns' music is based on that series. So clearly, you know, I know Roman. I heard Roman talk about Game of Thrones. You know, he's into current television. I don't know if he watched Succession. I suspect Paul Heyman has. There's I think Beth Heyman is in the – or Rachel Heyman or something's in the credits. I'm curious if it's related to Paul, one of the producers. This whole Reigns thing is feels inspired by Succession. That said, Succession is, like you said, you know, it's like Godfather. There's powerful families with a patriarch. It's a theme that has been around for a long time, and it's great. I think that Vince likes it, and he gets it, but I don't think it's his idea. I really think this was a Heyman pitch, and Reigns got excited about it. And Heyman and Reigns are the creative forces behind it. I haven't read or heard anything to dissuade me from that understanding of the things I have heard point me that direction, but I don't know for sure. Maybe it'll turn out that more credit will be given to Vince than I've heard so far.
Sure. Real quick, if you haven't asked, could you send a message checking on Umberto on his injury?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually did, and I haven't heard back, but I will nudge on that. I mean, yeah, he was moving around, but not well. And he seemed – what scared me a little bit, I don't know if scared is a word, but what concerned me is he seemed less in pain and more concerned, if that makes sense.
That's what I got sick to my stomach. Like, I'm just like, please don't be like a paralysis type deal, because it wasn't ow. It was just something ain't right. Something ain't right. Something ain't right.
That's the thing. Yep.
Yeah. And those are never good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it could be, you know, a cracked bone in his hip or a tear. You know, Byron Buxton injured his hip, and it could be something like that. It was hard to tell. He was kind of putting his hand under his, like, buttocks, basically, you know, under his hip area. And I don't know, injury-wise, what that means.
That he wasn't overly moving his legs, though. That's what scared me.
Yeah, yep.
You could tell, you know, the ref called it. They focus on Sheamus, and you can tell that they're addressing him. And then we went to the video package after that, and then we got Alexander's entrance, and then we went to another commercial. I think they were still getting him out of there at that time, and that once again, another cause for alarm, taking that much time.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, we certainly wish him well. I think actually what scared me more than anything was the look on Sheamus' face as they cut to commercial, when he looked over, and he looked – like genuinely concerned for Umberto. We wish him well, obviously. Okay, let's go to Steve in Baltimore next. Steve, thank you for calling. Thanks for holding. What'd you think of Raw tonight?
I thought it was a serviceable show. First question, do you guys think there's any chance that Shayna's selling her knee? It's going to turn out to be some kind of Alexa Bliss voodoo spelling her.
Ooh, interesting. First of all, I hate it if it is, but that's an interesting point. Did that cross your mind at all, Johnny, watching it?
Yeah, no, it was Papa Shango voodoo. Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately,
I know I took my eye off the match, and there was something that, you know, she was selling. But honestly, when you watched it, did you think, oh yeah, that was voodoo?
Yeah.
Or are you being facetious?
No, that's all I thought was stupid.
Oh wow, okay.
Shango Buddha. Yeah. Yeah, no, she did like the weird knee thing, like she couldn't control it and went out on her. Like,
wow.
So yeah, it was definitely mind control, shoot me.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
All right, Steve.
I don't necessarily think that's who she's after. I mean, because what do you prove in a feud versus Shayna Baszler, who everyone has beaten every week for the last 2 years?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for putting that out of the universe, but another thing, the Fiend has been gone for ever since the week after WrestleMania. What do you guys read into that? Do you think they're repackaging him? Do they think it was just such a disaster at WrestleMania that they don't know what to do with him now?
It wasn't good at WrestleMania, but I don't know if that's going to stop them. To me, it seems like Bray Wyatt's got a sweet gig, you know? He gets introduced and then phased out, and then introduced and phased out, because it's not really an act that's sustainable 52 weeks out of the year. That's my take on it. Have you heard or read anything else, Johnny, on that?
No, I mean, but we're not getting a Fiend versus Randy Orton rematch, and the pay-per-view coming up on Sunday is WrestleMania Backlash. So there's no reason, you know, they're not. Thank God we're not getting a backlash from that. And so, no, it's just a hiatus. We'll see him the Monday after Backlash. So he'll start something new with someone. It'll probably start with, you know, just a Bray's Funhouse on Monday, and it'll work its way into something with someone.
Steve, anything else?
Almost. What do you guys think of how they're portraying him so far?
Say that again. You cut out briefly.
I'm sorry. Almost AJ's partner.
I thought this was a bad night for Thomas. I thought it was a bad night for him. I think they've been presenting him effectively. I mean, if you're going to have a big guy on your roster, you know, I mean, it's a little cartoonishly over the top, but it's WWE and that's what they do. But you know, so for what they do, you know, it seems like he's a big deal. I thought he looked rough in there. And Johnny, if he can't do those basic things he was asked to do this week, which is only a tiny step up from what he did at WrestleMania, it's going to be really tough camouflaging that going forward. What did you think? Did you think there were some bright spots in terms of his in-ring work?
Well, I have a question and a comment. So the little skit before the match, do you think they CGI'd him squishing the tomato? Do you think he really squished that tomato?
Why?
I mean, it's just quite the feat of strength. I just wasn't
sure. Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. All right. Yeah. I thought maybe something happened. Like, you know how the green mist sometimes gets CGI'd and exaggerated in post-production? So I was like, oh, did I miss something where, you know, like, so.
No, the Danny Hodges back in the day used to squeeze an apple.
Right, yes.
Or break a pair of pliers, you know. So, but the Amazing Amos can squeeze a tomato all by himself, allegedly, as I said, could be CGI. So, I don't think he was good, but I thought Randy Orton was really good tonight. Like, you know, when everyone's coming in to take the bump for Amos, Randy Orton's like, no.
Yep.
You know, they're doing the running into Dusty Rhodes' bionic elbow, Four Horsemen, you know, Three Stooges style. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to kneel down and then I'm going to drop to the floor. I'm going to do the exact opposite of anything that resembles that, which, you know, I thought was in line with the character of Randy Orton. But then later in the match, you know, they're cheering on the baby face for the hot tag, Randy Orton's sitting there clapping his hands. And I'm just like, who is that man that looks like Randy Orton outside the ring clapping his hands?
Yes.
I felt like he just got caught up in the moment and, you know, probably slapped himself, you know, just like, all right, stop that. But I thought he was good. He's limited, but if you're going to have him out there with anyone, I mean, you know, AJ Styles is a great guy to have him paired with, and now that AJ Styles is more aerodynamic with the goatee, sky's the limit.
I love that. I love the idea. I mean, like, he could have just shaved the beard and had a goatee and said nothing.
Yeah.
But he's got to interject. I did it because, I mean, he probably screwed up shaving. I mean, that's why most people have goatees, is they screwed up shaving. And like, all right, I guess I've got to turn this into a goatee. And some people it just works on. I mean, I don't know, maybe AJ just wanted a fresh look, but I love that. Yeah, he's. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was listening back to the 5 years ago flagship shows with Jason Powell. You know, when we're talking about AJ, and and we're like, I just don't know if he's going to be enough of a character for Vince McMahon. You know, he's such a good wrestler, and you know, he tried some things in TNA, and you know, but will Vince get it? Will Vince get his sense of humor and all that? And you know, we're talking about Charlotte growing up in front of our very eyes. You know, AJ has grown up in front of our very eyes as a character, and there's a dry sense of humor about him that it still blows my mind. He can be smart enough to have a sense of humor, but then have his, you know, views on flat earth and other things. But nevertheless, he is just one of my favorite people, like, in wrestling to watch. He cracks me up. And I mean, it was one of my favorite interviews I've done in the last 10 years. Like, he surprised me right before went to WWE and after he left TNA, and he was just one of the most engaging, forthright, intelligent, well-spoken interview guests. Like, along with Hardcore Holly were like two of the really big surprises. And I'm so glad that, you know, he's had a chance to actually get mic work and show that he's more than whatever, you know, TNA kind of had him doing. But again, I think he grew up as a person, and we're seeing that. And that little quip was cracked me up. It was one of the highlights of Raw. And then they played into it during the match.
Yeah. And actually, goatees just came back into fashion like over the last couple of weeks. Like, I've been debating on doing the goatee. I'm just like, is it really back in, or are people trying to say it's back in? And then I heard AJ say it tonight. I was like, oh, well, that's all the convincing I need.
See, AJ, it's so weird to say this, but because you don't think of AJ as like a trendsetter or an influencer or somebody, like, you wouldn't think he'd be right on the cusp, but he actually typically is like the guy making a comment, and I'll be like, what's that about? And then I'll find out, like, just now from you, or, you know, in a couple weeks later, I'll be like, oh, that's a thing. Oh, AJ's the first I heard about it. So, you know, good for him. You know, he's finding a way to stay contemporary too. All right, cool. Steve, back to you.
Yes. The Jinder Mahal introduction, reintroduction.
Steve, do you have a goatee?
Yes. Not at the moment, no. I have had one in the past. So.
Okay, all right.
Jason Powell's been prepping for this moment for years.
I look back at my goatee in the late 90s, and I'm just like, oh, although that was more because I couldn't really grow much hair outside of a goatee on my face. So now I can. So I don't know if I'll go back. I mean, it's still a little scruffy, but I don't know if I'll go back to goatee. I mean, I might if it becomes cool. You know, I'm all about jumping on trends, Johnny.
Yeah,
you know that.
Now's the time.
Yeah, and John, you know, if we can make Jason seem cool all over again, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Steve, I interrupted you for a silly goatee question, so now you can get back on track.
Yeah. Jinder Mahal and his lackeys, what did you guys think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I am not, I was, you know, I talk about, I just got word, not definitive, but it sounds like Umberto's okay, so I don't have much more beyond that, but I did just get a note on that from somebody backstage. So, but yeah, so that's good news. I mean, I think if he wasn't okay, they probably wouldn't be spreading there that he is okay. That is not a definitive Wade Keller Report statement. It's just the first indication of good news. Jinder back. Jinder threw, and this is the problem with him is, you know, he looks, if you like that look, you know, like Vince McMahon does, great. Or Triple H, whoever. But he threw this like right roundhouse punch, and it was supposed to be blocked by Jeff Hardy. So Jinder threw it in slow motion so Jeff could block it. Like, that's not good. You don't do that. You throw a regular punch and leave it up to your opponent to block it. If they don't, you just turn it into a usual worked punch. But he like, oh, Jeff's going to block it, so I'm going to go real slow-mo. And then there's another part where he just like shoved Hardy like into the ropes, and it was like he didn't have any momentum. And it was just weak. I mean, he's still just not very good. I mean, like, he just – and then we got the obligatory early match, or I guess in this case mid-match because it was so short, mid-match side headlock. It's like you don't do that on television anymore. It's like, and if you're having a really long match, you can. But you got like 3 or 4 minutes of TV time, and you have time for a 40-second side headlock a minute into the match?
Yeah,
like, what have you been doing? So I'm not my answer, Steve, is – I am not looking forward to Jinder Mahal pay-per-view matches. I'm open-minded to being surprised, but I thought there were some bad signs tonight. Johnny, what do you think?
What should have been a hot re-debut for Jinder Mahal, as you said, 30 seconds in, side headlock, then he has a variation of a headlock deal that he did for another minute after that, and then when he went for his Colossus finisher, he went back to that original headlock or that second headlock thing he was doing, realized that wasn't the correct procedure to do his finisher. I'm just like, oh, my God, this guy's messed up his finisher. And then he shaved his head. Like I thought he had good hair. I'm just like, one of the only things I thought he had going for him was his hair, and he shaved his head. So I don't – and then – you know, I'm friends with Jeff Hardy, and Jeff's been, you know, hasn't been on television for a while, you know, part of which, you know, with the loss of his father. So I'm just like, you know what, I don't know how much time Jeff has on his contract, but if he could get one more, you know, maybe U.S. title run or something, you know, like tweak his reintroduction is like, nope. So this whole thing for me was a bust. And then the stupid freaking face paint on Veer and Shanky. I'm just like, stop with the – if you're going to do face paint, do it good. Like, you know, do the Ultimate Warrior, do the Road Warriors, do Sting. Not like last, you know, a couple weeks ago with whatever T-Bar and all those. That's horrible. And then these guys, it's just like, what are two squiggly lines going to do? Like, stop it. Just do it right or don't do it. So, yeah, I thought that whole segment was a bust. I didn't – like, You know, and I saw gender, you know, they were talking about, you know, this guy had a 6-month title reign in 2017. I was there at Starrcade in Greensboro, and it was, the main event was Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles. Jinder Mahal was champion in a steel cage. And it was actually good because, you know, because it was a house show, you know, it was a Starrcade house show.
And it was AJ.
And everyone was into it. And, you know, and so, and AJ is, you know, somewhat new to the WWE at that time. So, you know, he's getting, you know, the Bullet Club Wolfpack signs, and Jinder, you know, cognizant of everything going on, you know, cuts off AJ from his comeback and then throws up the Wolfpack signs. I'm just like, hey, I like this guy. And then it's been downhill since then.
Yep. All right, Steve, anything else for us?
I was just wondering if Johnny had any thoughts on the Roddy Piper biography.
A lot of people asked if I was called for that. I was not.
How are you not called for that? You are his personal assistant. You are a podcaster. You would be good on camera. You have good hair.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think I would have been a talking head for the sake of being a talking head like the Macho Man biography. No, I would have loved to have been a part of it. I would have loved to have, you know, I would have played ball. And I did the show I worked last weekend in Miami. I worked with Deimos and Ariel Piper, Teal Piper, Roddy's daughter. And we were talking about it. She hadn't seen it yet. And she asked me what I thought. And I liked it. I thought they did a pretty good job. I felt like I thought one of the big moments for me was, I mean, I think Hogan was closest to telling the truth on a lot of the early stuff on Piper that's not discussed. And Vince, you know, like, you know, basically alleging that Roddy's in hell. You know, but, you know, but coming from a good place, it's hard as you can juxtapose those two ideas together.
Yep.
I thought it was really, really sweet and really cool. And you know, and I told I told Ariel that I thought she would really enjoy it.
Cool. Steve, I'm glad you brought that up. Anything else you want to bring up before we move on?
No, that's it. Thank you guys very much. And I also enjoy listening to your podcast, a great Wade. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you very much. All right. Our number, 347-215-8558, as we've progressed here. A couple people dropped off, so we're going to jump to Javier now. But if you do want to call up or push one on your phone, feel free. If there's some topics we don't end up covering with Javier, we can take callers after we go to Javier. So we'll do that now. Javier, our PW Torch VIP podcaster and PWTorch.com contributor joins us near the end of most shows, or I should say sort of the midpoint, and we cover some topics we haven't hit with the callers. Javier, welcome.
Hey, Wade. Hey, Johnny. How's it going?
Wonderful.
Good.
By the way, I'm sorry, Johnny. Javier specifically said he was, and I'm serious, he was looking forward. Oh, wait, no, it was you saying you're looking forward to talking to Javier. Javier, are you looking forward to talking to Johnny?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
I
wow.
mentioned when
Johnny,
we did
okay.
I'm not going to fill him out. We had fun when we did that. What is it that we covered? TLC, I think.
I'll take your word for it.
Scotty, what were you going to say? I stepped over what you were going to say.
Go ahead.
I only remember it because that was around Christmas time, and you saved me a lot of money because when I said that, you know, I actually like Johnny Fairplay, I think I lost about a quarter of my friends. So I saved money on Christmas gifts that year. So,
oh, you're welcome. Happy to help. I was honestly just looking forward to I've spent the last hour trying to cover every single thing possible so that you had nothing left in your notes.
Ah, funny.
Well, I mean, there is Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, which I hated because they did the whole thing with the you know, it helped nobody because okay, I'm fine when they do the idea of the guy who's too cocky and loses, but you don't bury the guy that you're wrestling first, both commentary the previous week. And that ticked me off because they showed, you know, Cedric Alexander berating Shelton Benjamin, but they didn't show Benjamin's comeback. And then Cedric destroys him in the ring and then ends up getting pinned because he's an idiot. So it made Shelton look weak, made Alexander look like an idiot. I think everybody came off out of that bad.
I agree. And it – this is not on this is on the booking, but Cedric's like raspy, overmodulating promo. The fact that like that happened last week, and then he came back with the same vocal tenor this week and didn't think to alter it is not a good sign either. I mean, I'm a fan of Cedric, but you've got to be self-aware enough to know that I can't even do it. I don't be able to podcast anymore. That voice he did, it's just like it doesn't serve a purpose. And they replayed it, and then he came out and did the same thing. So that's not good. But the whole thing with Cedric and Shelton, I mean, at least they're not losing tag matches. But, yeah, I didn't really think either of them came across as stars here. And, Javier, you laid it out in pretty good detail. Why? Johnny, what do you think about that?
Well, I noticed the voice thing. Like, you know, they played the highlights from last week. I was just like, oh, man, like, you know, that was a really good promo from Cedric. I just wish, like, you know, obviously he had, like, a sore throat that week. And, you know, I wish he had been, you know, in full – you know, vocal health, you know, to get that, you know, to really nail that promo. And then he comes out this week with the same voice, and I was just like, oh, no, that's not his voice, is it?
Yeah.
It was noticeable.
And I wonder if that's someone who directed him to do that, to, you know, to try to stand out. Because, you know, that would be the one you know, the one negative, because I love Cedric Alexander. I saw him in the Cruiserweight Classic, you know, to that three-way feud that he had with Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali, you know, with them like switching, you know, dance partners during 205 was like some of my favorite wrestling and some of my favorite, you know, stuff in a while. And so I'm a huge fan of him, but it's his personality doesn't really, you know, come across. And I'm wondering if they're directing him. Yeah, just, you know, put more into it. And then this is what came out, which I agree.
I've worked with Cedric in the indies. He's just a really likable guy. And like, you know, I feel like there's enough personality there to pull out, but maybe the incorrect instructions.
Yeah, yelling is just – I don't think yelling serves very many wrestlers. If you have to yell to express your emotion, you're probably not being produced well because there's just so many good ways to express emotions besides overmodulating a microphone, and it's a substitution for, you know, actually a sophisticated way to express yourself. And it's too bad because there does seem to be a lot more there than this, and it's off to a bad start. Javier?
Yeah, so, but on the opposite end, I think the one that really, I officially give him my stamp of approval because I hadn't really gotten into him was Priest because when he was Punisher Martinez, I was never really fond of him and wasn't really too fond of him in NXT, but the way that he carried himself today, the way he delivered that hit the lights on Morrison at the end, I saw, you know, this is a guy that has some star power, which is something that I haven't seen too much of lately.
What are the – well, first of all, I want to get your thoughts on Damian Priest, Johnny. I think some people are just – you see him in Ring of Honor, you see him in NXT, and you think their spot that they belong in this wrestling business is under Vince McMahon on the main roster. Like that's where their strengths are going to be capitalized on, and their weaknesses won't matter as much, will be effectively hidden. So your thoughts on Damian Priest, and then also your thoughts on the possibility of reality TV star Morrison and reality TV star Miz breaking up.
Ooh. So Damian Priest, I saw, like, I've been to several Ring of Honor shows. I wasn't a huge Punishment Martinez fan. Number one, I hated the name. I just thought that was stupid. So, but I think he's better as Damian Priest. I don't like I like the idea of the bow and arrow thing, but I just think it looks really lame. Like when he does it, and then you know the flames on a monitor. It's like, oh, so. But then I was thinking, I was like, how could you make that cooler? But then I was just like, oh my god, just think if they gave him an actual like bow and arrow or just a bow, that would be even worse. Like that, because like I think the sword with Drew is kind of lame. So like I could see them giving him a bow, and I was like, all right, well maybe I should just accept this and not complain. So, but no, there's definitely a star power to him. I don't understand why they didn't give him a little more shine at Mania. I mean, and was Damian Priest, you know, doing a world tour after this that didn't involve wrestling? Because, you know, the guy that did, he got all the spots. Then that kind of made no sense to me, but what do I know? But as far as Johnny Drip Drip, my good friend from Survivor, the greatest thing that Johnny Drip Drip has said yet, and it was a real throwaway line, and I don't know if you guys caught it, but it was like I guess it was an episode of Monday Night Raw, you know, like. The Miz is like, you know, what's going on with your hair? And he goes, you know why my hair is so big? It's full of secrets.
Yep.
All right, Johnny Drip Drip for the win. So because his hair has looked kind of weird, and it's still weird, and now it's weird and says Drip Drip. So I really don't know what's going on other than it's just full of secrets, apparently. But
there's always been like this other thing going on in John and Morrison's head that seemed like it was just for him and no one else.
Yeah.
And it's coming out, you know, and it's like this, it's intriguing because he's not main event. And so it's sort of more acceptable. It's not like, oh, what this, he's such a weird dude. He's limiting himself. He's a weirdo. He's a flake or something. And now it's like, no, he's just in a different world. And he just gives us glimpses into the world he lives in, and we're not meant to understand, and we're cool with it. And
yeah.
He says things just to make himself crack up, and it sort of works now. You know, like I crack up because it's funny to him, even if I don't get it.
Yeah, he's aloof.
He's
very aloof. So
socially, very unaware. Like,
I mean,
if people go to like the time when he's on when I interviewed him, and I'm like, hey, do you have 10 more minutes? We got some more calls. He goes, I gave you an hour of my time already. I think that's enough. Like, no one ever just sent a thought in their head. They found a way to, like, go, oh, no, I got to be somewhere. Or,
nope.
You know, like, no. He's like, yeah, you know, really, I'm just going to be blunt. An hour is enough of my time for you. It was just like, wow. And I don't think he meant anything by it. It's just he's just socially a little bit different.
Yep. And you saw that on Survivor.
Totally, yeah. Yep. It was sort of, like, reassuring. Like, oh. That wasn't me. It wasn't like the interview I did or me personally. It was just like, he's just a little different. Martin's on a different wavelength, and that's cool. To each their own, you know, we're all different in our own ways, and some are public figures.
No, I think production, the writers and all those guys, all of upper management, I think love The Miz. And I think I think Morrison is the Miz's best friend. And so they're just like, you know, let's let these guys, like, you know, if this is what they want to do, it's one less thing for us to write. Let's just, you know, and everyone's complaining that everyone's micromanaged.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think I like the idea of them feuding so at least one of them gets a win. And I have zero desire for 50-50 booking in this feud.
Oh, you're going to get it.
I know. But that's not
Miz
what
will
I want.
Insist. Miz will insist. Yeah.
So, but, I mean, because, you know, Miz is a good dude. And, you know, so, of course, he's going to look out for his buddy. I'm glad that Morrison is back in WWE. I felt that, you know, that's where he should be. And I mean, on the first episode of Miz and Mrs. Of this season, he was actually pretty fun. Like the Maurice she has this new skincare line she's working on, but it's too much to do by herself. So the Miz decides to make her sales pitch commercial for her or whatever. And so he calls John Morrison. And he's like, hey, like, you know how to do production stuff and you're creative. He's like, oh, I'm your guy. It's just like, he's not your guy. I mean, it is what it is. They're both my friends. I like them. I find myself, I mean, I guess Bad Bunny won me over in the end on that stuff. So it's fine. You know, there's 3 hours. You gotta fill it with something. I find myself not hating Riddle. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I know. I know. I feel like he was on a Dignity Redemption tour on the scooter that wasn't going very well for a while. And then Randy was like, you know, sort of like we're about Morrison. We sort of get a kick out of him. We sort of get him now. And like, Randy's like, yeah, okay. All right. You know, you're yin to my yang a little bit. Maybe I'm in need of that after everything with the Fiend. You know, I did burn a guy alive. He did come back to haunt me. You know, maybe I could use somebody as innocently optimistic and pure as you, even if you are a little long-winded and unself-aware in a different way. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I do think there's something there. And I mean, there's not just one right way to push someone. And I know some people are like, yeah, there's like 77 wrong ways to push them. And Vince finds, you know, somehow finds all of them. But this isn't the best way to make money with Matt Riddle. I'll just say that up front. But I don't hate it either. Like, I've come around to just, you know, you sort of have to with WWE programming, accept that Vince is going to see things the way you do, and then go, is there something here that's endearing or fun or entertaining or has potential, or is there some good coming out of it? And, I mean, I kind of think there is.
Yeah, and honestly, it might be the road to money with Riddle. I mean, I think
what I'm wondering, yeah.
This whole thing ends with Randy Orton killing Riddle. I mean, like one of the worst, like, done correctly, I think this is going to be one of Randy's most vicious beatdowns ever. And the guy that walks away from that isn't on a scooter.
And you can forgive Riddle, because he's dopey, for not seeing it coming. You know, like, you'd resent that with someone else. Like, how in the F did you not know that was going to happen to you? But Riddle's just so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and the world is a wonderful place, and everybody is out. Everybody's just, you know, wants to listen to me, give him my ideas for Shark Tank. And even like after he beat up, you know, Kofi and Xavier, is very childlike. If you keep doing that, how are we supposed to have friends?
Yeah. You know? I thought that was the best line of the night.
Well, it's right up there. Yeah. And then, I think Morrison already got line of the night from you. And AJ with the aerodynamic thing is the line of the night, but you know, we got some good contenders.
Yeah.
And so when Randy left the ring, Riddle's standing in the ring and he's like, sort of proverbial hands on hips. That was mean, but he's also smiling because he's just a happy dude. And Randy, I think, was trying to, like, you know, keep a straight face. I don't know if he's looking at the monitor or looking back at Riddle, but like, how does Randy keep a straight face when Riddle's looking at him like, ah, you shouldn't have done that, but smiling while he's doing it. So it was all weird. Javier, what do you think about that?
Well, the actual skit that they did, I wasn't fond of. I don't think a lot of the comedy landed, although I really enjoyed the subversion of the he's standing right behind you thing. Because, you know, he's talking about, I like that he got hit by tomatoes. And then it's like, oh, he's standing right behind you. And then he turns around and goes, yeah, we were just talking about you. I said, I like you when you got hit by tomatoes. I like that. I like that subversion of that trope. But I think the rest of the stuff kind of like, you know, a lot of jokes in that segment didn't really land for me. But yeah, I've overall, I have a feeling we have like a festival of friendship coming up at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, although the actual line of the night for me was when they were talking about the registering as a tag team or whatever, and Corey says, he says, that's not a thing. I was a tag team champion. That's not a thing.
So exaggerated.
Well, though, I think that I wasn't sure. The thing that was, I thought, like, when he did it, I was like, is that going to be a thing that they now talk about? Like, when Corey Graves said, oh, you only get two saves per match or whatever it was, it's in the rule book. And, like, no one had ever talked about it before, but apparently, like, it, like, was a thing, but no one talked about it. I still don't know to this day. So when New Day brought that up, and he goes, yeah, unlike those cheats, AJ and Amos, I'm like, is that a thing? Are they going to pretend it's always been a thing? You know, like when the cousin shows up on the fourth season of a sitcom and it's like you need a new character, so you introduce the cousin or the dad who was never on the show before. Like, is this one of those rules they're introducing? And then I thought, oh, wait a second. They're just messing with Riddle. They sent him on this, like, this task to go do something that you don't actually have to do, and that's the joke. And I wasn't sure either way. I guess Graves kind of confirmed that. And so, yeah, New Day kind of playing a prank on Riddle and Riddle earnestly going and filing paperwork so it's official it'd be pretty hilarious.
I have a question. Do you have to smoke weed to watch Adult Swim? I didn't know that was a rule.
I've heard it.
It helps, apparently.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like Corey Graves is kind of all in on that. I'm just like, this feels a little out of left field on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. I on a serious note, I'm really sick and tired of New Day being so okay with losing. Like, I know their character, the optimistic, ever-optimistic smiling. It's a new day. You know, every day is a new day. But sometimes it's good to think about yesterday and last week and sell it so we don't think that today doesn't matter because tomorrow's a new day. And, you know, Kofi losing the title, that was an issue, you know, the world title. And it's like they're going to beat up by Amos, and they're falling. They're just all these setbacks, and they're just back to jovial jokiness. And it just makes me not like them. Like, you've got to acknowledge your setbacks, or why should we care if you lose if you don't care if you lose? So a little more serious note, I don't think they're going to change, but I think it would be an improvement on their characters if they had some memory of things going wrong and seemed like they cared enough to want to do something about it.
Well, as Lucha House Party mentioned, they've had their fair share of losses.
Yep. Go ahead, Javier.
Yeah, the thing about the New Day, because I actually wrote that in my notes, was the fact that how much they've fallen. And I don't know if you can really do the anger of being losing right now. You consider the fact and how badly they've been losing to Amos and what they're being forced to sell. Their performance since WrestleMania kind of speaks that they're not happy to me, you know, that they're not into what they're doing. And they're kind of, I get the same vibe as, it was the match with Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan, where Michaels was like overselling everything.
They're clowning. In the traditional way the word is used, not the way we've used it to disparage New Day for being clowns. This is the more, no, they're clowning. Like what Anderson Silva would do to his opponents that drove, you know, some, you know, Joe Rogan nuts. Like, don't over-clown, you know, be serious or whatever. It seems like they're almost just showing up and collecting their paycheck and almost trying to send a message to people, we know. But I don't know. I don't know if that's true. It seems like that might be the case. But, they're smart guys, and they've got their very big bank accounts doing what they're doing. And I'm sure they run into kids every day who say how happy they make them. And so, I mean, I think they might judge their careers differently than, you know, full grown adults evaluating their potential do. They might be looking at some of the other positives and going, it ain't that bad. But at the same time, they're going to kind of send a message through their body language and the way they're conducting themselves on TV right now, which is, you know, a bit of a dog whistle, like we know.
Yeah, and since Johnny brought up the weed reference, at one point Verk said something about Saxon that could have been like a drug reference, like, oh, he's high on whatever. And Saxon went on and said, you know, to like correct him, to move it away from the drug reference, and, you know, like say, oh no, it has we're talking about something else, not about, you know, getting actually high. And then that's when Corey went into the whole watching Adult Swim while bathing.
Wow.
So,
I mean,
I thought, because it looked like Saxon was trying to steer it away from there, and then, like, Corey just went straight at it. So, but that was an enjoyable one. And while talking about it, my brother did while he was watching it, he sent me the following message during the, I think it would have been the first match, where Verk said, and this is the actual message he sent. Verk, Baszler and Asuka have some history. Graves, we don't acknowledge any history older than 3 weeks, so I'm totally going to ignore this comment and hope that Vince didn't notice. I'm paraphrasing.
Johnny.
Yes.
Oh, any thoughts?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. I was going to say something in response. Go ahead, Javier.
Well, because it looked like Verk was fishing for, you know, for them to fill the information, you know, based on their history in NXT, and then, you know, it was just like complete radio silence from Corey, because, you know, like my brother said, it's history older than 3 weeks, so we don't mention that.
Yeah. You know, gather your thoughts, Javier. Yeah. Well, gather your thoughts. Somebody emailed about Verk, and I might as well introduce it here. BJF from Wigan, UK says, "Hope you're well. I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. I noticed one thing from tonight's Raw. The last couple of weeks you've mentioned that Adnan should do some background by watching old WWE and then just throw references into commentary to make it seem like he's a longtime fan. So I noticed tonight he said about Randy Orton tonight that JBL said if you could build a superstar from scratch, it'd be Randy Orton. He nearly got the quote right because JBL would say from the ground up rather than from scratch. I think he'd also say sports entertainer, not superstar, but maybe he changed it around. But it sounds like Adnan has been taking your advice to drop something into the shows. And then he says, as a side note, after your AW post show, I kept cracking up at the way you pronounced the word R-O-F-F. Love your show. Regards. Thank you, BJF. Adnan is struggling. I don't know if struggle is a word. He might be oblivious, but he is. It's hard to tell with him, but he is fun. It's an adventure listening to him because he says things you're not supposed to say that you know causes like Vince to squirm and Saxton and Grace to squirm. And then he like does, like I said, wide-eyed, like, hey, if Asuka were to beat Rhea Ripley tonight, that would make her the favorite going into Sunday, wouldn't it? And he says like these conventional things like it's wisdom no one has ever thought to say before, as opposed to, he's so unaware they're like these tired trope cliches that we're all sick of. And that's the first time he's ever thought of it because he hasn't watched wrestling before or very much of it or retained any of it if he has. So it's an adventure. So anyway, Javier, back to you.
Yeah, I was going to mention how Verk was it's funny you brought up that one because I could have sworn he made that same comment last week when talking about Orton. Because when he said it this way, I'm like, that sounded familiar. I thought he was the same thing that he had said last week. And it just got me in the mode of, you know, because I one of the things that got me back into wrestling after I took the hiatus was playing one of the WWE 2K games. And it was like the commentary were like, you know, repeat over and over again. So for a second, I was having a flashback to that because it was like, you know, didn't he say this last week? You know, I wasn't sure, but it popped into my mind because it was, you know, he was referencing JBL. So, and you mentioned the Charlotte and, Asuka and Rhea thing. That was another thing I really did not like because you had the former women's champion and the current women's champion in the ring, and the entire commentary was about Charlotte and what they're doing there. And at no point did they pretty much call anything that was going on in the ring. And I was like, you know, and that's just, that's one of my pet peeves. And in this one, it was like all about Charlotte, and you know that she was just there to get, you know, to interfere. So you're just waiting for that moment, or to get involved in some way, shape, or form. And it was just that was another one that I really hated about the show. Another segment.
I did like her just walking out after distracting Ripley and just going, "I'm just here to watch. Relax." I like the way she said it. It felt like the way a real heel would say it when they knew what they were up to, but wanted to make the babyface seem like a fool for paying attention to them. It was one of those moments where you're like, all right, Charlotte's less robotic than she used to be, and it's just getting kind of – it seems like there's a little joy to her performance now.
Yeah, and it wasn't an immediate distraction finish, so that was nice.
Yes, yes, it was a commercial transition instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Javier.
And speaking of, I did not write this. I'm glad you mentioned that because it triggered something. I'm glad you mentioned the distraction because did Drew McIntyre swear he will never get distracted again? And so he hits the Claymore on Lashley, which would you assume would have Lashley beat, and then Strowman's music hits and he's distracted instead of immediately going for the pin?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I mean,
well, he was the most focused he's ever been going into Mania. So this is a...
Yes. Sorry, I think my internet went out just a little bit at the end there, Javier. There's been a little bit of choppiness, but go ahead.
It already started. The show already started in the bad. I already started in the bad mood with the show when they put the that's going to be the main event and of Lashley and Drew. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, who are they fooling? Because if you watch WWE, you're not being drawn by this match because you know it's not going to have a finish. I mean, if you've been watching for more than 3 weeks, you know this is not going to have a finish. So the draw here isn't this match. The draw is how are they going to get out of it? What are they going to do to get out of it?
Yep.
So,
don't tell Adnan. He was expecting a finish tonight.
Oh, I know. That's what's – it's like he's seeing everything through virgin eyes. It's like all these tired tropes and cliches and it's like Adnan's like, whoa, look at that. That distraction. There was a distraction, and that led to a pin. Oh, my – it's like, yeah.
Do not let him watch the Jeff Jarrett World Title reigns in TNA. He will. He is not going to enjoy that.
No.
Wait, the referee got knocked down. Well, this match is over.
Why is the ref down so long? It didn't seem like he got hit that hard. I can't wait for him to say that. There's just be a zapper on him. Just like zap him every time he says something that's like not. Not what we do here in WWE. Oof. All right, Javier, anything else?
No, that's about it. I just want to mention for people who listen to this and also listen to and also watch AEW, they did put up on New Japan's site a match with Yuji Nagata versus Minoru Suzuki from 2013, and if you want to see what Yuji Nagata is like, what his wrestling style is like, and two people just beat the holy hell out of each other, I would recommend watching that match before to whet your appetite for Dynamite this week. So
cool, excellent, good recommendation. Thanks, Javier.
Yeah. Oh, and if you don't mind, one last thing. It's funny that you also mentioned about the star rating thing. Because I went on the New Japan Pride podcast, I spoke about that at a little bit of length, the Ospreay and Shingo match for me is probably one of my candidates for match of the year. And I mentioned, that the only reason I wouldn't give like a 5-star or 4-star is because the build to it wasn't strong. And I factor that into it because it's not just whether it's like cool moves and stuff, but what that match means. My favorite match last year was Tanahashi and Naito, and while it was a good match, there were other matches that had better work rates. But the story that they told in that match is what elevated it, because of the story that, the journey that Tanahashi was in, where Naito was at that spot and what they told. So I mean, it's not just the work rate that, for me, and I think it's important for anybody.
Yeah.
And I would recommend you, the people who are VIP, check out that because you understand like how I approach the watching a wrestling match. Cause I think that's important. Just like a movie reviewer, might have the same finding that you agree with a lot what the movie reviewer says, and so you'll find more value in that once you know where he's coming from, or even someone that if there's another movie reviewer that you hate everything that he likes, and then that there's also value there because as long as like what the person likes, and they explain, look, I this is how I view wrestling or how I view this, that way if your views align, you know where they're coming from, and then the reviews would matter more to you.
No, it makes a lot of sense. There's some matches that are just fantastic in complete isolation. If you haven't watched wrestling in 5 or 10 or 15 years, but you like pro wrestling and you watch a match, oh, my God, that pulled me in. It was great. Crowd is into it. I loved it. And there's other matches where you'd watch and be like, I don't get it. Why is the crowd reacting? What does the silence mean? There's not enough happening. And it can be an equally good or even better match than the first one because it's not about the moves. It's not about the dives. It's not about the risks. It's not about the pace of the action. It's about other things. And matches, I don't want to say ideally because I think that's too objective, and I think there's more subjectiveness to what makes a great match. But some matches are better – some matches are dependent upon the backstory and the story and the references and the build and the emotions, and the actual pace of the action and the number of high spots is not vital to it being much more effective than a match that's just great athletes in their prime doing amazing things.
Yeah, because that's why I like about Impact, because Impact does not have the star power of, you know, some of these other promotions. But it's just they do such a good job of developing their characters that even if you don't have, like, I mean, you might have a match with, you know, the match with Cardona
the other Ed Ted.
Yeah, I see. Their match, you know, they're not going to light up the, you know,
Brian
light up anything, but their character work was so good. That, you know, it was, Brian Myers, you know, they were so their, you know, their character work, particularly on Brian Myers, you know, side was so good that it was an entertaining match, even though it wasn't like, you know, a super duper, you know, high work rate one. So, but, you know, so that's just some food for thought, I guess.
Yeah, I did a Weight Killer Hotline last Thursday night and just touted Impact. I think it's a sleeper show right now. It's not for everybody because, you know, different people look for different things in wrestling, and I accept and embrace and acknowledge it. But right now, Impact is a sleeper show, and I think some people who would really enjoy it aren't watching it, and for all kinds of reasons. And I talked about that in the Keller Hotline. So
they don't have a crowd yet, do they?
No, they're starting to pipe in, you know, ambient noise, but there's not fans, you know, on camera reacting to things.
Well, better
but soon, yeah, soon. Cool. Javier, thanks. Always great.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Yep, you too.
Bye, Javier.
All right. We got 312 who called up. Let's go to 312. Thanks for holding. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, my name's Charles Jean-Pierre. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Hey, good to hear from you, Charles. Thanks for calling. So what's on your mind about Ronda?
Hey. Man, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I was open to the to the Jinder Mahal segment. I'm really into factions since, like, Nation of Domination. I was hurt that the Hurt Business broke up, and I love the factions.
You should check out AEW.
I was thinking that, too, Donnie. He's a first-time caller. I didn't want to interrupt him right away, but that definitely was in my head like you. Like, if you like factions, you're going to like this show on Wednesday nights. Go ahead, Charles.
No problem, man. I appreciate it. What other factions do you think could come about or be created on Raw? I'll leave it there.
Understood.
Yeah, I mean...
What's the one with Dos Santos?
Or pairing that could come into the main event? Because I was really thinking, I thought Jinder Mahal was going to interrupt the main event tonight. I didn't think – well, of course, the obvious would have been Braun Strowman, and we know how the other faction that were wearing all black, they failed miserably. Just thinking who could we elevate – Retribution, that's what I was looking for. Who could we elevate or put into the main event to spice things up? And I was thinking Jinder could do it, but then I heard how bad his wrestling performance was tonight. That's all I have.
Cool, yeah. I mean, it's tough because it's not like WWE short on factions lately. You know, Retribution and Hurt Business come to mind as groups that I think were actually helping the wrestlers who were in them. Retribution not. Let me take that back. Hurt Business was helping Shelton and Cedric elevate, And with Retribution, now it's sort of like they were in a bad faction. It elevated a couple of them, but obviously it held back a couple others. So it's like I'm kind of sour on factions right now, unless Vince McMahon is committed and excited about it. And there's just not a lot of wrestlers left who aren't paired up or in factions. I mean, Riddle's with Orton now. I don't think Drew Gulak or Akira Tozawa are going to benefit, or the Viking Raiders. They're not going to benefit from being in a faction. So nothing really jumps out right now in terms of who would benefit from. Maybe Angel Garza when whatever he's doing is over with. In some ways, like if you can take like three or four just sort of mismatched talents who have talent and they're not getting pushed, and you can kind of put them together, and then suddenly you're like, oh, this is kind of interesting chemistry, and it doesn't seem like it goes together, but it ends up working. You know, something like that, you know, you always want to keep your eye out for, and I think it's good to have a tag team, a male singles, a male tag team, and a female singles. So my sort of generic answer would be I'd like to see more women in factions with men and not have the divisions be kept separate and have that dynamic play out. Johnny, any thoughts?
I don't like that. Like, I like there to be some kind of reason for them to be together. Like, I like Roman with his family. You know, I don't. When you have the mismatch pairings like that, it's real easy for WWE creative to go into 3MB mode, and that's my concern. So, I mean, you know, as I said, if I'm looking for factions, I'm pulling from NXT, and I'm throwing those factions on the main roster, and I think with a faction you give potentially smaller guys more validity on the big man roster.
Every once in a while, like just taking three or four guys who don't go together at all and be like, what the hell? Let's just do it. And let's see what happens. Like, I mean, sometimes I'm for that. Just, you know, it's like, you know, when you throw three or four darts at once at the dartboard to see what happens, instead of one at a time with precision. So, I mean, sometimes if some acts are ice cold, or there's somebody who you're not quite sure what to do with, but you think it'd be fun to see them play off of others. Like if Cameron Grimes was called up and was in a faction with the Viking Raiders, like maybe that would work, you know, maybe it would, if you just aren't sure what you're going to do with others. So I don't see anything that jumps together logically, but I get what you're saying. You know, you want a reason behind it, but sometimes if you're like, I just don't know if these guys are going to work on their own as a team, there's not enough there. And this guy, he needs somebody to play off of. Let's put them together and see what happens. I mean, if there's some calculation behind it, even if it seems kind of weird at first, I'm open to, if I'm a promoter or booker, I'm looking for those opportunities a little more often than I think bookers do.
I mean, like one of the best storylines of 2016, I believe, was from WWE Video Games. And I think Paul Heyman wrote it. And the storyline was they formed a group called The Union. And it was William Regal, Sheamus, like Rusev, and, you know, just, you know, the four foreign guys coming together.
Yep.
League
of Nations.
Yeah, well, but it wasn't League of Nations.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I know.
I had one more question.
Sure, Charles, yeah.
Hey, do you think they should add new members to the Hurt Business?
I do. Yeah. I'd like to see Isaiah Swerve Scott, if we're going to stick with African-Americans, you know, as like sort of the theme of the group. Isaiah Swerve Scott jumps out as somebody who I think would be a real natural fit. But, you know, I think I having a tag team and a woman wrestler, I think would work really well too. Johnny, what do you think?
I'm cool with the two Retribution guys without the stupid face paint and using their actual names. I would like them to.
Yeah,
join
I mean,
business.
It'd be different than what they've been, but I don't think there have to be rules about what they become. I worry about that pulling down Hurt Business a little bit. You know, the stench from Retribution. But you know, if MVP can be like, hey guys, I can take you from a sub 500 team to champions, and that's a storyline, and you acknowledge it and own it. You know, if you've got a good idea to make that work, then there's some talent there to make it work.
Yeah. But yeah, kill the T-bar.
So
oh, stop it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Charles.
I just want to end out by saying go VIP. I've been listening to you guys since 2016 and just went VIP in the last year, and it's changed my podcast listening for the best.
Awesome. Thank you. What do you like most about VIP?
What I like most, the lack of commercials.
Or whatever you There you go.
Yeah.
The yep. correct answer is heel Wade on the fix.
There's lots of good answers. But, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I appreciate that. Wrestling Night in America on Sunday night, so I appreciate that as well.
Cool. Yeah, Greg does a great job of that. Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Charles. Call again. Don't be a stranger.
Ciao.
All right. All right, I think we covered most everything. Did get a we talked a lot about Jinder Mahal, but poor Jeff Hardy, you know, like what's going on with him? You talked a little bit about it, Johnny, but John from Tennessee said, I was really surprised to see Jeff Hardy being used to put over Jinder Mahal clean. WWE loves telling us how much better the Attitude Era was than the current product, so you'd think since Hardy is the last full-time performer from that era, he'd be in a featured role. Is his contract up soon? Also, those guys with Mahal look completely ridiculous and not intimidating. It's been one night, and I'm ready for Jinder to go away again. But on the plus side, I think Damian Priest has been impressive so far. Where do you think he goes after the Miz feud? Maybe build toward a title match at SummerSlam versus Sheamus? Thanks for the great content. Couple things. Sheamus' promo, by the way, of, you know, you want me to defend the title like these schmucks before with open challenges and the news of Cena coming back in a couple weeks. Sheamus is so setting up Cena's return. Cena's going to answer the open challenge, and if not beat Sheamus, be in some sort of storyline for the U.S. title. So I think that's where things are headed. It doesn't mean Damian Priest won't end up in the U.S. title picture with Sheamus if Sheamus comes out of something with Cena with the belt, but that jumped out. Johnny, your thoughts?
I hadn't heard the Cena thing, so that's pretty cool. I like John Cena,
yeah.
so that's cool. I thought his promo seemed really effortless tonight. Like, it wasn't this stupid, my uncle told me, but the work in the Irish pun here or there. It seemed just like, I mean, he's just been so great since that trade in which you were like, hey, I think there's some money in Sheamus, and everyone laughed at you, Wade.
Yep, they did.
So,
but I stood my ground in private DMs, by the way. There's a with a couple people, but one is like a respected ex wrestler, and he's like, you weren't serious, were you? I'm like, yeah, I'm serious. I didn't say just watch, you'll be proven right. I wasn't sure I'd be proven right, but yeah.
I was with you when you said, I'm just like, they like him. All it takes to get over is just wins and not 50-50 booking
and not having overly scripted promos and Sheamus. Sheamus, he's grown up too. You know, I mean, there's, you know, he's a full-fledged, well-rounded character right now because he's less easily fit into some sort of, you know, Vince McMahon, you know, catchphrase. And what we saw tonight was Sheamus. And, you know, why would I want to walk in the footsteps of all those has-beens who came before me when I can build a legacy of my own? It's such a heelish thing to say. I am not going to defend my title against all comers. Because why would I want to do something that the has-beens before me did? Like, it's such a weaselly thing to do to get out of defending your title honorably, and he does it with a straight face. And plus, he took a shot at Vert for screwing up his nickname a few weeks back with Drew McIntyre. So I like that receipt also.
Yeah, and he has the Pinky Blinders hat. So. You're just like, oh, his gimmick's completely new. He has a Pinky Blinders hat, and everything else is the same. It's great.
Is there more in Jeff Hardy than they're getting out of him, and is it too late now?
I mean, tonight didn't help. I really thought, I mean, like, as I said, it's been, 2 months since we've seen Jeff? I really thought that there was a possibility that we were going to see just one last incarnate. I mean, like, I wouldn't have hated something with Jeff Hardy and The Fiend, you know, just to have them off in their own universe together.
Yeah. Vince McMahon is an equal opportunity canceler of pushes. And when you get bad promos, you know, you can be Ricochet, you can be Styles, or it means to be seen with Cedric. But if you get bad promos, Vince, I don't think he like thinks, oh, now I'm not going to push this person. But he loses it. All the enthusiasm for pushing him goes out if he thinks you can't express yourself in a compelling way unless you have some other overriding trait, you know, and at this point, Jeff Hardy doesn't have an overriding trait other than being a legend, but I think he feels he's done what he can with them. And I'm not so sure we're going to see another Jeff Hardy push in WWE. I don't know his contract status, so.
I don't know. It's always a mystery, isn't it? All those guys. I was actually shocked we didn't see Daniel Bryan tonight. He is a free agent, and they could have signed him.
That's right, yeah.
It's a totally different brand than SmackDown.
Javier said his brother will kill him if he doesn't mention this, so I better do it because I don't want Javier to be killed. Yeah. A goatee does not include the mustache. What Styles has is a Van Dyke. That might be a losing battle if we're going to, like, be that. He might be right.
Goatee counts the mustache in the modern version of the goatee.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Covered that. Assume Lashley retains it. I believe whenever Keith Lee comes back, Dodo should have him pick up a win after challenging Lashley. Then you could see either of those. Okay, I should just read this instead of skimming it. Anyway, just to add to what I wrote, I'd like to see WWE pivot and keep having Priest pick up wins and then challenging Lashley at a future pay-per-view for the title, assuming Lashley retains a Backlash. Yeah, when you were – that's Jack A. from Swansea, Wales. When you were mentioning, you know, what Priest might do next and maybe challenge Sheamus, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't move Priest into a feud with Lashley if they don't have something different and special for Lashley, like John Cena or Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I could see Priest getting maybe pushed a little too soon into that spot, but sometimes you can wait too long also.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a newness to him that in a good way that if it is like, you know, a full capacity crowd, I think they're into him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say, like, you know, as far as the, you know, the crappy booking for the last month since Mania, you know, you had a white hot Bobby Lashley that's cooled off. You know, the good thing is, it, you know, hopefully he won't be cheered now.
That's a good, there's a red hot heel who's going to be cheered and now you cool him off. So at least people will be indifferent.
Yeah.
It's a victory.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else in your notes or you want to ring up, Johnny, from Raw itself? All right. So tell people a little more about what you're doing and, your podcast and why they should listen and your social media, all that good stuff.
I mean, you don't have to listen, but you can. It's one of the greatest reality television podcasts out there. So if you're watching the challenge or you don't want to watch the challenge and you want to just hear me talk about it, as I said, we just finished the challenge Double Agents, which was on MTV. Now we're covering the challenge All Stars, which is on Paramount Plus streaming service. You know, it's got Mark Long and Derek and Trishelle and Ruthie and all the people that you remember from, you know, the Real World Road Rules days. They're back. It's basically the Challenge Senior Tour. I'm very jealous. I wish they would do that with Survivor.
Yeah.
We're talking that on Thursday nights, and then on Tuesday nights during next week, we're rewatching season 4 of Survivor, and all that's available at realitynsfw.com. If you'd like to be a patron, we're watching Australia's version of Survivor, and we're watching their season from 2017, and I have it as a top 3 season of all time so far. It's really amazing. I'm loving it. And so, and then we do a weekly Q&A there and some other stuff. So if you'd like to try being a patron, go to adfreensfw.com to become a patron. And as I mentioned earlier, like the charity deal that I work with, it's Give Kids the World Village. Basically, if a Make-A-Wish kid would like to go down, you know, to Disney World or something for their Make-A-Wish, Give Kids the World Village, they actually send a car to your house, pick up you and your family, fly you to Orlando, actually Celebration, Florida. You're there. They put you up for a week in a beautiful villa. They have 24-hour ice cream. They have they have people on bikes with fresh cookies. Like Monday is Halloween. Tuesday is Christmas. Wednesday is your birthday. I go down every year. We do Pirates and Princess Night with the kids at least once a year. It is they have, you know, miniature golf and rides and stuff. It is the most amazing thing I've ever been asked to be a part of in my entire life. It'll make you cry. It'll make you laugh. I consider it an honor to be a part of this. And I'm looking right now. So last year I finished in the top 10. This year I'd like to be in the top 3. I'm looking at the current stats. I'm in 22nd place. And Casey Catanzaro is ahead of me. So I will tweet the link right now. Wade will retweet it. So if you follow Wade at the Wade Keller, he'll be retweeting this, and you'll see my Twitter at Johnny Fairplay. There's a link for my Give Kids the World Village fundraising page. It goes through them, not me. And I would love to be ahead of Casey by the end of the night. So all you wrestling fans, the money's going to the same place. So it doesn't matter if it goes to Casey or me, but I would prefer it go to me so I win.
So, you're doing very well there for a while, Johnny. Very well.
Yeah.
So,
I gotta work the gimmick.
And that's part of, that's part of what drives charitable contributions. It's just kinda, you know, that aspect of it. And you know, it's like the old telethons, like call when this star is performing, and that shows support for that star, but it's really still all going to the same charity.
Yeah. So it's really cool. And that's where my focus is. So yeah, check out my podcast if you don't, but you know, help some really awesome families that could use your help. And that's it. I just did a show called Webmasters. It's on Amazon Prime Video. It talks about my whole court case stuff, which was a blast. So that's fun to be over. And then I'm about to film another show next week that I can't talk about yet. So life's good.
Excellent. Well, John, it's been great catching up with you, Johnny, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Yes, if you were asking if I was current, I'm current on everything, but I'm watching the most AEW Dynamite. So keep that in mind going forward.
Oh, good. Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been too long, and I look forward to catching up again sooner than last time.
Let's make it happen. Awesome. Thanks also to our listeners, our callers, our emailers, and until next time, Wade Keller signing off.